to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll sue you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Stereo code, source code, ISO, RAM, zip,
This is episode 144 of Binary Revolution Radio, and this is your host, Droops. It seems that it's really hard to put out a show every week and find interesting content and interesting people to be on it, and, of course, the most important thing, the time to actually record something. So I'm helping out a buddy and getting this thing done. Today we're going to be talking about Slax, which is a live CD based on Slackware. If anyone went to Nauticon, you might have seen my talk, and pretty soon you'll be able to see it on archive.org. And maybe you've been to my website, which is infonomicon.org, and downloaded some slides and looked at it. Well, today I'm going to be going over it a little bit after the official business. We have some email. We got an email from Lord Kahless, K-A-H-L-E-S-S. Sorry if I mispronounced that. But he says, "Hey guys, what's up? Long time listener. I attempted to set up a binary meeting in the 760, which is the high desert in SoCal, a while back, but stuff came up like it always does. At any rate, me and a friend are going to start our own interweb radio show podcast thingy. Any advice you can give someone with no experience on being a host of any sort? And how do you decide the topics of the show? How'd you come up with your format? Though I'm assuming Stank deserves the credit for that. And any words of wisdom you may have to pass on?" Well, I'm going to take a break and answer some of this. It's a pain in the butt to do a show every week. And Jason Scott had some words of wisdom that I've taken to heart and I've told a few people about. And that was to do series of shows, like Binary Revolution is about to start its third series, but it doesn't stop. In between the series, it goes really hardcore. And that's really hard for people to do. I mean, it doesn't seem that hard when you want to make a show. You're like, oh, all gung-ho. But then when you get into episode like 144, it starts to get really, really hard to do. And in making a series, maybe you make 10 episodes, and then you can plan them out, have them kind of run into each other, record all 10 of them, and then release one a week. And that gives you 10 weeks to prepare for your next series. And so people aren't, you know, oh, he's skipping shows every week and blah, 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 complaining. And you can get your point across a lot easier and have a lot better time with it. And then if you say, okay, that was a lot of work, I need to take a little break for the next series, it's a lot easier to do. That's something I find that's really interesting. Topics. I enjoy coming up with a topic of something that I'm playing with. Like, as a hacker, you're doing something all the time that you're trying to learn about. Maybe you're trying to learn how to configure Slax and make your own distro. Maybe you're trying to figure out how to break into something. Maybe you're, I don't know. Whatever you're interested in, write it down. And then when you need a topic, oh, here's a big list of things that you're interested in. And you don't have to really think about it a lot. You're like, okay, I've already got that. Like, Twat Radio is a show that maybe you're familiar with at twattech.org. And we have people, well, at least the goal is to have everyone do a show every 2 months. And in between that two-month period, you're sitting around and you're like, hey, this is really frickin' cool. You can say, okay, I'll do my twat on this. And then every episode would be everyone's 2-month, this is really frickin' cool thing, which would make every episode really frickin' cool. So we're always looking for more hosts for that, if anyone wants to go to twattech.org and sign up. Anyway, what else did he ask? What else he has? The format. Well, some people are very rigid on their format. Like, Binary Revolution Radio always has things in order. And my old show, Infonomicon and Twat Radio, isn't really like that. You have to think how you want your audience to perceive the way you want to do things. You have to think about, are you a rigid person? Are you a free-flowing kind of guy? And just do it your own personal way. Do it where you think people would enjoy it, but most importantly, do it where you think you would enjoy it. And you're welcome to use the format from Binary Revolution Radio, and you're welcome to come up with something else. You know, kind of pick what you enjoy. Any other words of wisdom? Oh, goodness. I don't have any really words of wisdom other than that. If you need web hosting, I have a site called Podcast Fertilizer, where we give free hosting for people that want to start shows, because most shows don't last 10 episodes. And there's no sense in getting someone to pay for hosting for 10 episodes, you know, or 4, or whatever they want to make, and then have to pay for it for the rest of the year, or whatever their contract is. So come on over to that, and if you do good with it, we'll get you a domain name, which is a good thing that we do, and kind of hook you up, help you out. Most of the people that do this internet radio kind of stuff will answer any kind of specific questions that you have. If you need to figure out what software you're going to record with, like Audacity, which is what most of us use, you can email any of us, and we will be glad to help you. You can come to Pound Infonomicon on Freenode and talk to the guys in there. There's a lot of people that produce shows that are in there. There's a guy named Slick Zero from BassNet Radio, and he is freaking awesome with audio quality. And you can ask that guy anything. He'll help you out. And what else do I know about that? I don't know. Blah, 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 blah. Moving on. It's going to cover anything of general hackerish, freakerish topic. I compare it to Off the Hook or Ben Rev, except it'd be more comparable to Ben Rev than Off the Hook, as not so much political content. Props to Emmanuel and whatnot. It's a good show for what it is. Just haven't listened to it in forever because of all the political content. It tends to just make me upset. And incontent, sorry. Whereas if I listen to your show, I'm inspired to hack a Gibson. Heck yeah, hack the Gibson. Just don't do it over state lines. At any rate, if you have a response, I'd appreciate it if you could email me back, at least telling me what you responded. I don't have the time to keep up these days to listen to every BenRev, unfortunately, but I do try and keep up. Love the show, keep it up. Shouts to Zidan and Loco. Well, I wish I'd have read that email before I read it on the radio show. Now I'm going to have to write that down and email to the guy. Oh, crap. Okay, I think that's the... Well, actually, there was another email, but I can't answer it. As well as Black Ratchet can, because he is pretty freaking cool. In fact, Black Ratchet had an article in 2600, if you want to go check out that newest magazine. So I guess we're moving on to personal hacking stories. I don't think there's a theme song for this, so I'm just going to go, personal hacking stories. Okay, well, I went to Nauticon this year, if you listen to the Nauticon wrap-up, which I believe was the previous episode. Let me get a sip here. And contrary to popular belief, I'm not drinking beer 24-7. In fact, I'm enjoying a nice Coke right now. And at Nauticon, I had a beer. Maybe I had 5 beers for the whole week, but I had no more than 2 at a time, like a day. So I wasn't drunk the entire time. I don't know where all these drunken rumors of me started, but Nauticon was freaking awesome. One of the highlights of my time, of course, was the Nauticon radio. That was awesome. Jason Scott, you get definite props for that. And, of course, the guys from Living in Sin, Dexter Douglas, he's a good guy, Slicko, and the BassNet crew, and all the other people that wanted to help out with the Nauticon radio. I believe that we're going to try to do that at different cons. Mr. Ponyboy, and I believe Mr. Slick Zero, purchased some FM transmitters, or an AM transmitter, and we are going to play around with that at all the cons. And if no one heard my cool news, I'm having a baby. At least my wife is... gonna have the baby, but I help make it. And that might put a crimp on my going to con time, but that'll be all good. I've been setting up Edubuntu boxes for people, and I set one up for myself last night, and I've been playing with it, playing all the little kid educational games. I think it's called G-Compress, which is a really, really slick educational suite for children, and it goes everywhere from teaching kids how to use a mouse to doing math and fractions and, you know, cool stuff like that. They even, I didn't even write this down in my notes, so I'm just kind of winging it, but there's this thing, oh crap, what was it called? It's programming for children with a turtle, and it's kind of like BASIC, and they've got really good documentation on it, which teaches the kids how to read the documentation, but you move this turtle around, and you can print a string on the screen, and make the turtle draw stuff and move around and change how fast he goes and how thick the line that he drags behind him is. And it's just really, really slick. I think it's Logo, maybe? Maybe Logo language? I'm not really sure. I'd never seen it before until last night. And it was just freaking cool that Edubuntu comes with such awesome things. And it's free. It runs on crappy hardware. I've got it running right over here on a Pentium 2, it's a 350. I actually found some RAM struggling around my room. It's like 196 megs of RAM, 192. Yeah, 192, that's how it works out. But, you know, old piece of crap computer, and boom, it's running stuff that's going to make my kids smarter and give them something to do that's cool with the computer, and I'm just really excited about that. Ooh, how did I go from Nauticon to that? Anyway, Twat Radio is actually about to be episode 100 this week coming up, and we have a special, super special guest host for Twat episode 100, and it's someone that a lot of us in the little hacker media scene really look up to. And if you listen to the Twat show, or if you just go check out this episode 100 and you're like, who the hell is this guy, do a little dig, and I'm sure he might say, you know, what he did prior to this, but this guy is freaking awesome, and he's just really, really slick. I don't want to say his name. I'm sure you've all figured it out. If you listen to my Hacker Media talk I did with Ponyboy at Interzone, or the Hacker Media panel we did at Nauticon, you will definitely know who the hell this guy is. But anyway, what else is on my personal hacking thing? Hacker Media. Hackermedia.org is this website that has been registered by a guy named Kizzle, and then he passed it on to me, and we have gotten a new site, Mr. Yelsab, designed and hand-coded, like it is just badass looking. And my little dinky Celeron server isn't going to run it very well, so Stank Dog got the domain name transferred over to him from Mr. Kizzle, and we are going to have that site up very, very soon. I know I keep saying this, but shit just keeps getting in the way. And the new Hacker Media site is going to be awesome. It's going to list not only shows that we produce, you know, like BinRev Radio or Off the Hook, but it's also going to have things like Make Magazine's RSS feed, and there's some NPR stuff on there that I really enjoy. And of course, we don't want to promote Make Magazine as much as we want to promote BinRev Radio, which is, you know, we're not making money. We're doing something to help the community. So all the professional ones are listed at the bottom of the site on the sides, and the homebrew kind of ones are listed at the top on the sides. And in the middle, it's going to have, it reads completely off of RSS feeds. And in the middle, it has the latest 20 entries to the RSS feed. So if you subscribe to the Hacker Media RSS feed, you will get all kind of mess. But the hope, of course, isn't for you to subscribe to all of them, but to go in there and pick which ones you like. And it's linked directly to their RSS feed, and you can kind of check out and find out what's going on, and build your own kind of thing. It's really cool. Mr. Yelsab is freaking awesome. And this is going to go into my last personal hacking story, which is helping each other. I have been amazed of how much the community has come to help me, at least the Infonomicon Computer Club. Like, Mr. Petrillo runs Twat Radio, and he was just some guy in IRC. We're like, hey, we need some help. you know, can someone help us post this every day? And just out of the woodwork, he's like, yeah. And he has just proved to be excellent. When we made the new TWAT website, we had people coming out of the woodwork to help security test this thing and come up with ideas for this thing. And it's freaking awesome. Mr. Livin' Dead is actually taking our CMS that we wrote and adding all kind of mess to it so we can release it to the public. And it's going to be under a do-what-you-want-with license. Because a lot of the... We don't know everything. And we went around and we found examples. And we used a lot of these examples that are available on the internet to kind of work into it and figure out how things work. And we can't really release it under a license that says anything. It's just kind of do what you want with it, kind of CMS. But hopefully people will look into that and help us with it. Our comment script, like Livin' Dead, is just awesome. He spent a lot of time security testing that site. And I don't want to challenge anyone to find holes, but if anyone does, tell us, and we can fix them. Because TWAT Radio is done by the community, and if anyone were to go screw with it, they would just be screwing themselves. Anyway, and helping each other is a really, really good thing. Like, I found they couldn't do Ben Rev Radio tonight, so I'm helping them, and I'm a little late because I didn't know that it wasn't going to be done. But no one asked me to do this. We all just work together. And if more of us worked together, we would get so much stuff accomplished. We talked to some of the guys from Germany. They're in the Chaos Computer Club. And they have, like, actual buildings. Like, we have meetings, you know, that a couple guys show up to or whatever. And they have actual buildings that the club owns or the club uses for all their stuff. If you have that you're in the Chaos Computer Club on your resume, that's looked really... you know, we're looked upon really highly. They have classes, they teach each other. Like, that's awesome, and I don't know why we can't do this. I guess because when we go to cons, we just drink beer and hang out. Oh, my throat's a little dry. But working together as a community really improves everything. And there's no sense in not having a good time. Like, there's no sense in count or pointless drama on the internet. We need to help together and work together, and I don't know why I'm just ranting. Sorry, guys. What time is it? It is 1 in the evening right now, and I have a lot of shit that I need to get done. But let's move on into the main topic. Main topic, main topic, oh yeah, main topic. Alright, we're going to be talking about Slack's Bass Live CDs. And currently, the Infonomicon Computer Club is building two of these. We're building Podfert Linux, and we're building Slasterisk. Podfert is a podcasting it's a live CD for podcasters. Because podcasting is the latest, greatest, whatever, hoopla going on. And, well, we want people to use more Linux. I enjoy it. It makes me happy. I cuss a lot at it, but it still makes me happy. And... we're trying to kind of take those guys that are just wanting to do a podcast and be cool and provide tools and tutorials and all the things they need on a live CD. Is anyone going to use this? Probably not. But we wanted to make a live CD, and that was the best thing we could come up with. But it's going to be really slick. We're going to have all the stuff that's available on the CD also available on the website. So maybe we'll kind of have a good resource right there that people won't have to, per se, use the CD, but they can still benefit from all the work we did on it. Slasterisk is actually what I think is the cooler one, and it's Asterisk on a live CD. Now, there's already Asterisk live CDs out there. One of them you have to pay for. One of them's in German. There's Ast Linux. I put myself on the spot. But I don't really enjoy any of them. They're smaller than my Slasterisk that I've made, because we haven't cut everything out yet. We're still in alpha. But ours runs better, I want to say, right now, or at least runs comparable. And ours is modular, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to build it on Slacks, because remastering Nopix, you have to... man, it's a big pile of crap you have to do just to make Nopix work. And I haven't gotten into all that, so I'm not going to really talk about that. but Slacks is very easy to remaster. There's all kinds of really good tools already on the CD for saving your configs, like in asterisk, your main config files are like your sip.conf and your extensions.conf. And your extensions.conf is like your dial plan, and your sip.conf tells asterisk how to talk to things. Like if you have a VoIP termination account with BroadVoice, you'd put that in your sip.conf. If you have a VoIP phone sitting on your desk, that would go in your sip.conf. And it would, get those things to talk together. That's how you set all that up. Well, on a live CD, you're going to have to write these every time. And that's a big pain. You, of course, could have, like an FTP. You could, go get your scripts from somewhere if you had saved them. And it's a big nuisance. With Slacks, there's a thing called config save, and everything you change, Slacks will look, find everything you've changed, and save it to a module. And you can put this module on a thumb drive, or you can email this module, or you can use a script that we wrote to do it securely over FTP, and save your module somewhere. So that everything you change is all in this one nice little package. And there's also a thing called webconfig and websave, which saves your stuff on the Slacks website, which isn't really the most secure way of doing things because you use a passphrase, and you could write a script that just randomly generated passphrases and pull everything off the Slacks website. They're working on that, I believe, to implement a little bit more security with it. But once you have this module, you can have it on a floppy disk, you can have it on a thumb drive, you can have it, on an FTP. And everywhere you put slash or CD in, you get that module, load it into memory, and there's your config, which you're saying that's kind of like what you'd have to do with everything else. This is true, but with the ease of remastering a Slacks CD, you can or a Slacks-based CD, you can actually include your module into the distro. Like we had my personal version of Slastrisk, which had my module, and when it booted at Nauticon, it was all on a CD. It set up my BroadVoice account, and it edited my extensions.conf to just show caller ID information. So that whenever I put this CD in, if I had internet connectivity, there's my asterisk box. There's all my stuff. People could call that number immediately, and there's their caller ID information. Very, very easy to kind of use that kind of stuff. If you're a Windows user, you can use this thing called MySlacks Creator, which will do that for you, and it's also really easy to do in command line. So what do you need to take Slacks and use it, create your own distro, or just modify an existing distro that has your kind of stuff on it? Well, let's say you want to take Backtrack, which is a really cool thing. It's based on Slacks, and you want to add some of your own tools into it, you can do it this way. And I believe the development edition actually lists all the tools as modules. So as soon as that comes out, you'll be able to say, I want this package, and I want this module, I want this module. And put them on your own customized CD, which is really slick. But what would you need? Well, you need a Linux computer would be really good to have. If you want to make your own and do a lot of hardcore editing on it. If you just want to add some modules, which you can download from the Slacks website, or your own personal module you made from a live CD, you can use Windows and use the MySlacks Creator. But I have a development box here. It's running Slackware, so that I can actually make my own modules however I want them. It's really easy to do from a Slackware package, .tgz. Anyway, so we've got a Linux computer, which is the best thing to do. Or you can also do this from an actual Slacks live CD. You need, of course, Slacks Linux, which is slacks.linux-live.org. No tiny URLs for me. If you want to test it without burning a CD, you're going to need a process emulator like a QEMU. Or you can use what's the fancy one that just... it's late. You can use the real expensive fancy ones, or you can just use QEMU. It's free. Works in Windows too, which is kind of neat for you Windows user types. You can use Slackware to do it. That's a good thing to have. If you want to build your own from a running distro of Linux, you can use the Linux Live scripts. And something I like to use with Slackware is this thing called the Slackbook. It's at slackbook.org. It's free. It's really a really good reference. All right, moving on over. In Slacks, well, in Linux, there's directories, like your boot, your root, your home, things like that. The file system on the Slack CD is a little different. So let's move on. I'm trying to slip through my slides here. Dum-de-dum, dum-de-dum. Like, there's a base directory, which contains your core modules, which are the modules that already come with Slacks. Like, in Backtrack, it's the modules are like the Etsy module, or the home module, or the root module, because they kind of obfuscate it, trying to make it so you can't just copy their stuff. But in Slacks, there's the one called the kernel. There's one called, there's a couple called KDE. That's the base stuff. In boot, there's files for booting, obviously, which is how your box is going to boot. You could edit a lot of things in there to kind of personalize it yourself. There's the devel, D-E-V-E-L, directory, which contains the entire Slack CD and the Linux Live scripts, and they've all been zipped up. And if you want to make your CD a little smaller, it's really nice to take those out. There's a modules directory. When it boots, when Slack boots, it digs in this module directory, and any module that you've dumped in there, which is a .mo file, you can download them from the Slack's website, and it'll take those. Like, you can have XChat module, so that when you load up KDE or whatever window manager you're using, you run XChat, and it's there on your CD, even if it didn't come with the original Slacks. There's an optional directory, which you can put things in that maybe you want to test and you don't want them to load on boot, or you can tell them, maybe I just want to use it this time when I boot. You can dump them in the optional directory. There's a root copy folder, which if you put things in here, it goes a little slower than actually making a module from it. But like in Slasterisk, all our config files for Asterisk are in the root copy, so it makes them a lot easier to modify. So root copy slash etsy on the CD becomes slash etsy on the actual running system. And then there's a tools directory, which has things for building your own modules, things like that. All right, so how do we find all these directories? Well, let's download Slacks from the website. And then we're going to make a directory, and we'll call it D. And then we're going to mount, and the command is mount-t, which is type, then ISO 9660, or 0, I always say O for 0, and then it's dash O, lowercase o, space loop, space whatever version of Slacks you have. The current one is 5.1. So it'll be slacks-5.1-0.iso, and then a space in the directory, which is D. So you type that in, you hit enter. And if you're like, well, I'm not going to remember all that, you, of course, can find my slides on infonomicon.org. So that mounts it into that D directory. But you can't edit it, because it's mounted off that CD. So we're going to make a directory, and we'll call it our new distro, or Droops' super cool distro, whatever you want to call it. And then you go and you copy and do a dash R, and CP is for copy, and dash R for recursive, and the Slacks, or the D directory, which we just created, and then a space, and then the Droops' super cool distro directory. And you hit enter. And that will copy everything that you mounted into that D directory into your new distro. And now it's modifiable because it's actually on your disk. Then you can just unmount that D directory, delete it. You don't need it anymore. And you have the Slack CD directory sitting right there, ready for you to go. I always like to change permissions on it to 777, which is a CHMOD, space 777, space dash capital R for recursive, and then my Droops' super cool distro directory. And it's a live CD. It doesn't really matter all that much that everything is now readable, writable, and executable, because you only have one user anyway. But it makes things easier as you're going through. So now we have a directory that has Slack sitting in it, ready to be modified. And that's really, really freaking cool. All right, dum-de-dum. So we can add our modules into the modules folder. We can add our optional stuff into there. If you want to make your own modules, you can use you can take a Slack package, which you can get from their Slackware's FTP directory. LinuxPackages.net, I believe, has a bunch of Slackware packages. And there's a command called tgz2mo, which is in that tools directory on the CD. And you can take a Slackware package, which is a TGZ, and convert it to a .mo. So you can download a, you know, a dsniff Slackware package and then convert it right over, put it on your CD, you know, remake your CD, boot it, and now you have dsniff on your Slacks, which is really cool. There's also ones for Debian packages, RPMs, and just straight directories, which is dir2mo, deb2mo. Kind of easy to follow that way. If you want to make a Slackware package, like in Linux, you do like a .configure and make, and then a make install to install something. And to make a Slackware package, you use a thing called check install. So you do a /configure, make, and then a check install, and it will create a .tgz, which is a zipped up tar file for Slackware, which is really kind of cool. So even if you can't find a Slackware package for things, you can make your own. And of course, any modules that you make and actually that work properly, you should submit them to the Slack's website so everyone can enjoy. Now, I said there's like a KDE module that's in the base directory, and I said there's, you know, the kernel module and things like that. If you want to see what's in these modules, or if you don't trust things you download off the internet and you go to the Slack's website and you download a dsniff module, and you're like, I wonder what actually is in this dsniff module. There's a command called mo2dir, which you have to already create the temporary directory that it's going to load it into, but it'll unpackage a module and dump it in this directory so you can look around, which is actually kind of cool to do with like backtrack stuff. You can go in there and in my presentation there's a slide of me, I forgot what directory I was in, but going through their web, their modules. You can pack your module back up once you're satisfied it's good, or if you want to add something into it. And of course, using these modules is a little faster than throwing things in the root copy. So you'd do a dir2mo, then your temporary directory, and then the module name, .mo. And now you have looked at that module and done whatever you want to do with it. All right. Dum-de-dum, de-dum-de-dum. Of course, my Slack's creator moves things in and out. Can take a Slack CD and customize it for yourself pretty easily. Now, once you get your directory structure set up properly in your Drupal's super cool distro directory, how do you make an ISO? Well, there's a script that's already in the root directory of the CD. It's called make_iso.sh. So you type that in, and then you type in what you want to call your distro, like distro.iso, and it runs for a little bit, and then boom, there's an ISO file of your distro. You can test it in QEMU. Easy way to do it, just type in QEMU-CD-ROM, and then space, and the name of your distro.iso. And that will test your distro so that you can add things, test things, make sure things work, good times. You can use network emulation, not network emulation, you can use your network with a command, it's -user-net. It's all run together, there's no spaces, so that you can see if that kind of stuff works. Lots of really coolness. Now, if you're building your own distro, you're going to want to rice it out a little bit, kind of make it look like your own, which is, you know, understandable. And I've been digging around all over trying to find a tutorial for this, and I couldn't find one, so I wrote one. The first thing you see when you boot up Slacks is the boot splash. And it is not boot splash like when you boot SUSE up, and it's real pretty looking, and it's got a little scroll bar, and you hit F2, and you can actually see what's being sent to the terminal. It's just a really pretty image, and it's in the boot directory, and it's called splash.lss. This was a thing, used to be used a lot in Linux, and you can Google for splash.lss and find really, really complicated ways of making one of these. It's pretty much a 15 or 16 color bitmap that they have that's converted over. And in Slacks, I think right now it looks like it's a luggage tag with a barcode, but you can make your own. And there's actually a splash.bmp. zip in the boot directory that you can edit. So you can unzip it, open it up in your graphics editor of choice. Mine, of course, is XPaint, because it's like the Windows Paint for the Linux world, and or Microsoft Paint for the Linux world. And then you can kind of edit it around, make your own, make something looks cool. The one on Slastrisk is really slick. Downer made it for us. But the one on Podfert Linux is really shitty because I was just learning how to do this. The tools that you need to make this boot splash to convert your splash.bmp to splash.lss, it's just, you can apt-get it if you're in Debian. It's called netpbm. Or maybe, I wonder if there's a Slackware package for that. Maybe I should make one. But it contains a bunch of tools like bmp to ppm and ppm to lss. And you can use that to convert your bitmap to an LSS. And then, of course, you would put it in the boot directory under splash.lss. And then run make ISO. And then you would run it in QEMU to test to see if it worked. Good times. Okay, the next thing right under that, when booting up booting up Slacks, it says, you know, welcome to Slacks. Press enter to continue booting. Press F1 for help. You can change all that mess, and that is at under the boot directory, under splash.cfg. It's a plain text file. You can open that thing up and edit it. I like to edit all these things in mcedit, which is from Midnight Commander, because it shows you your escape characters. If there's an escape character, which is like a control... Something, I'll tell you in a minute. If you screw up one of those, things aren't going to work as well, and it's really easy to see them because they're a different color in mcedit. Now, if you press that F1 on that boot and you saw all the cheat codes, that's a file called splash.txt, which is in the boot directory. Plain text file, you can edit that. Just watch out for those escape characters. In the root directory of the CD, there's a file called isolinux.cfg. And that is where it says how things are going to boot. By default, it's, of course, Slacks. And then there's a label called Slacks. And it passes the things to the kernel what needs to know to boot. Now, if you want to call your distro Slastrisk, which I did, I would change that default to Slastrisk. And I would change that Slacks label to Slastrisk. So that when someone types Slacks in, it wouldn't work. But when they type Slastrisk, it would boot. Makes sense to me. Okay, so you hit enter, you typed in Slacks, and it boots, and then you see a big clover, or I think they've changed it to something else with the new distro. That is your Etsy issue file, which is kind of like your message of the day file, which would show you the message after you boot, or after you log in. This is right before you log in, and it's of course a plain text file, and it's got escape characters, so use that mcedit, and you can change that the way you want it to look. And the typical Slacks thing says, okay, the login's root, password's Tor, which is root backwards, start X to run X Windows and KDE. Well, what if you took out KDE and you wanted to use XFCE? So you would just change that little wording in there and then change your, change your init tab. Is it init tab? No, shit, what is that file? You change the little dot file in your root directory to point to XFCE. XINITRC file. That's what it is. There we go. Oh, boy. This is an excellent episode of Binary Revolution Radio. Sorry if this is boring, guys, but it's how it goes sometimes. How it goes. And this is making your own Linux CD. How is this boring? Coca-Cola. So you change that. And there's lots of cool stuff you can add on this little thing. You can have, like, the baud rate of the current line, which is a /, and then B, if you put that in the file. And, of course, you don't really need that anymore, but you can have, like, the current date, the system name, the domain name of the machine, the release number of the kernel, the current time, the number of users currently logged on, you know, all kinds of really cool stuff. It's in, you can find that at the linuxfromscratch.org website if you're looking for that list, or you can, of course, find it in my little slides from my Slacks talk. You can also change all these colors with your ANSI color codes. And I was talking to Mr. Downer last night, and he told me a thing called DUH draw, which is a Linux port of some frickin' DOS tool that is an ANSI drawing program. It's pretty slick. So you can go in there and using escape characters. The escape character is a caret and then a bracket. The first bracket. Anyway, you can go in there and you can change like the foreground colors, you can strike through, bold, on, underline, italics, any kind of stuff to kind of draw in there and make something that's pretty. You can change all the colors to, you know, the ANSI colors, like blue, magenta, cyan, white, good stuff like that. When it boots, it says Slacks log on. And if you make your own distro, you're going to want it to say Slasterisk or whatever. That's your Etsy hostname file. So type in Slasterisk and then a period instead of Slacks there with the period. And save that, and boom, your hostname has been changed on your personal distro. In Slacks, the default username is root and password is Tor. And that's really good because it's easy to remember. And there's no services running for people to log on, like SSH and things like that. But when you start going adding modules in, now it starts to become a security issue. What if you load something that someone might be able to access, and now they know your root username and password? So I like to run the PASSWD right when I boot up Slacks and change my password. Kind of a little bit of security there, because if you're adding all these modules in, you don't know if there's going to be something open you might want to check on your personal distro. So then just change your little password there when you log on. Now, by default, Slacks doesn't have the frame buffer enabled, which is maybe not the coolest thing, but it's really easy to do. Like at the boot, you can tell it to boot Slacks when I just type in Slacks and then a space, and then type in VGA equals 791, and then boom, you've got a nice frame buffer, which makes life easy. Or, if you want to just change it on your CD, there's two files you have to edit. You have to edit isolinux.config, which is in your root directory, and you have to edit inittab, which I put on my distros in the root copy directory under root copy etsy inittab, so that when it boots, it's an etsy inittab. And there's two little things you have to change in there, and man alive, is that hard shit to read. But we've opened up isolinux.config so far. We've already opened that. So let's open it up again, and let's go down to the label of Slacks, or whatever you want to call your distro. And you need to type in VGA equals 0x305. And that will enable frame buffer right when you boot up. Put it in there right before you tell it to initialize the Linux RC. And, of course, this is in my presentation. But you might want to have downloaded that presentation before we went into all this trouble. But if you edit that, then we got frame buffer. Now the init tab, if you don't, all right, it's booting. It's got frame buffer. It's got the little Linux penguin up at the top, little tux. And then it'll show you all your login information, your Etsy issue file. And it doesn't clear off all that stuff that was scrolling by, you know, telling you what it's loaded before. And that's kind of ugly looking. So if you edit that init tab, and you go down to where it has your standard console login gettys, which, oh, can I see by my thing what line that is? No, I don't know. There's a big long string that you can, I found this at linuxfromscratch.org. It's called the Red Hat style logon.txt, and a little string that you enter in there, and that will it will clear everything and then raise it up to the top, so that when your Etsy issue file is shown, it clears all the other stuff and enables you to make it look a little prettier. So that's good times. Now, If you want to add a different GUI to this thing, you can add anything you want. There's Fluxbox, there's KDE, there's XFCE, there's GNOME. Modules already made on the Slack's website. And that's in your home directory. It's called .xinitrc. So if you don't want to start KDE every time and you have XFCE built into your CD, or if you just have XFCE built into your CD, you just edit that and type in what you want it to start. And so for starting KDE, you type in start KDE. For starting Fluxbox, you type start Fluxbox, no spaces. And I like to use XFCE because it's very lightweight. So that would be start XFCE 4. If you don't want to edit that, you just want to test things, when you type start X, it will go to KDE. And if you type start XFCE 4, it'll go to XFCE, which is a nice thing to use. The config save, we talked about a little bit. It saves all changed files in your etc, your root, your var, and your home, which is pretty much all things you're going to be changing. And do a config save, and then the path to whatever you want to call it, .mo. There's a config restore, which will take that saved module and restore it into your system. And you can save things on your thumb drive. Do just a config save slash mnt slash sda1, and then call it slacksconf.mo, or whatever you want to call it. And that'll save those things to your thumb drive. Really, really cool. The web config we already talked about is very insecure. It excludes your logs and your something else, but saves your etc, your root, most of your var, and your home directory stuff that you've changed. You can have it set where it will. You can boot, type in slacks web config and equals, and then a passphrase, so that when you close out slacks, it'll automatically save that kind of stuff, all the things you've changed. You can boot with a web config equals ask, and it will ask for your passphrase as it boots and as it closes. So if you think someone's going to be messing with your stuff, that would be really nice. You can also do this from your command line, your shell. You can just do a web config and your passphrase, a web restore, which will restore things that you've saved, and a web info, which will look and see what you got and tell you. Your passphrase has to be greater than 10 characters, and you can save 28 megabytes of cool stuff there. Now, you can make mistakes. If you're going to be handing these CDs out to people, you got to think about, you know, things that you've done. Like, if you checked your Gmail with Firefox, and then you built your CD, and you had that password saved, now everyone has your Gmail information. If you have temp files, like in your bash history, you might want to delete those. Look into all that stuff. Clear out your history in your browsers, all temp files. If, like when I was testing, I made this mistake. When I was testing the FTP scripts that we wrote, I left my frickin' FTP login information for the Infonomicon site, and then we put it up on the internet for people to download the CD. And you can go check and see if you downloaded one of those, what my username and password used to be. But make sure you clear all that before you run that config save or you generate your own ISO, because that stuff will be saved. The Anonym OS, they didn't clear their bash history. You can see all the commands they typed in before they built the CD, which is kind of bad. But they didn't have anything good in it. But they might have. Now, that's all how to take slacks, rice it out, build your own, add modules, all the goodness, all the happy, happy, joy, joy goodness. So, how do I use the Linux Live Scripts? What the hell is that? Well, Linux Live Scripts are written by the guy that made Slacks, and pretty much what they do, or what he does, is he takes his Slackware system that he has chomped a whole bunch of crap out so his ISO won't be that big, and then he runs his Linux Live Scripts, and it makes Slacks. And you can do this from your computer. You can do this from Debian, Red Hat, SUSE, Slackware, of course, anything, and make a live CD of your actual system, which will be so big it will not fit on a frickin' CD. You really have to kind of work at it to get that to happen. But you can get that at linux-live.org. So, let's see. you need a 2.6 kernel with Squash FS and Union FS in it if you want to do that. What the hell is Squash FS and Union FS? That's the thing that does the magic with the modules. It is used for a lot of embedded stuff, and it's what compresses your modules and makes your file system actually when you boot your CD. So how do you get that on your kernel? Well, there's of course a pre-compiled kernel at the Linux Live website, which is really cool. And when I did this on Slackware, I had to install CDR tools also so that I could burn my CD. So I installed my Linux Live scripts, my pre-compiled kernel, CDR tools, I'm ready to go. We're working on a script right now that does all this for you. But pretty much you follow the instructions to install Linux Live. Get that kernel, blah, blah, blah. In Slackware, you can use install package, which is really nice. So if you download CDR tools, which... you can get it at the Slackware's FTP. You just type in install package, CDR tools, then the version number, .tgz, and it will install it for you. If you want to install that new kernel, same thing. Install package, the name of the kernel, Linux kernel, -2.6-whatever.tgz. And that installs that kernel, which of course won't boot because your bootloader, which is Lilo, doesn't know needs to be there. So if you run the Lilo command, it will figure all that out for you, which is really kind of nice. Something that stuck me, and I still don't know why this needs to be done, but it seems that everyone else knew, you need to change the permissions on your rc.udev file, which is an /etc/rc.d. And change its permissions to 755, or building your ISO won't work. And you also need to, you're going to get an error with these scripts. There's a little bug. So if you edit etc/rcd.rc.s and add in the word exit on line 159, oddly enough, it'll take care of that little error for you. Good times. So you've run Lilo, you've edited a couple things, you've installed all your new kernel, and your Linux Live scripts reboot, and then your new kernel will be ready to run. You can run kernel version, it's a command, and it'll tell you what version you've got, and it's good times. Now you're ready to do this. In your Linux Live directory, which is told you need to install in your temporary directory, it contains config files, tools, and boot, just like it's on the CD. So you can go in there and you can change, you can use the tools to create modules. You can go in there and change boot so that you can have everything boot the way you want it to boot on your CD. So you do, when you run your CD that you just made, it doesn't look like slacks. Because this is yours now, right? Alright, in the Linux Live folder, there's a script called rummy.sh, and that will create a file. It's always called livecd.iso in your temporary directory. The smaller the better, because you want to fit on a CD and you want it to run, and it's kind of a nuisance to cut out all that stuff. Alright? Wow. That is a lot of boring-ass talk about slacks. And I hope that you're still here. And if you're not, well then, haha, fuck you. And you didn't even know I heard I said that. But that's okay. Now, when you're going about making your own CD, you want to put some thought into it. What are live CDs that you like? Why would you want to make a live CD instead of just a regular, you know, regular distro? And what about live CDs do you find special? Which ones you like? What do they have that's really, really cool? Well, think about that, and then make your own, and then have everything that you think is cool. And that's freaking awesome to me. Some resources for you to go through and look at is slacks.linux-live.org/forum. And there's lots of good people in there to help you answer questions. There is /slacks on irc.freenode.net. And if you listen to the IRC BinRev episodes, you know // means it's the unofficial developer channel on Freenode, which is a good time. Slastrisk.org is where I have my Slastrisk, and Podfert.org is where I have Podfert. So good times. Wow, I still have some time to kill. Slacks is cool. slash risk is freaking cool. We're going to go in there and rewrite the config files and make it so people can have a good time and learn how to use asterisk. And that's a good times for everybody. And I always need help with all this stuff. If anyone found any of this interesting or have some tips about how I could do this better, please tell me. Because the more I know, the more I grow. And I'm short now, and I would love to grow a little bit more. Well, anyway, I think this has been an entire BinRev episode. I hope I have filled it with content, this, that, and the other. I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Black Ratchet, Mr. Strom, for letting me have this opportunity to come on here and just kind of mumble for an hour. And I'd also like to give a shout-out to all the guys in the Infonomicon Computer Club and all the guys in the DDP. And all the guys that are helping and hanging out and doing good stuff, trying to be cool and nice. The closing music tonight is some music I found on archive.org. It's Jack Johnson, who's actually a popular singer, who puts all his, or allows people to put all his stuff from his live shows on the interweb. And he is singing Garden Grove, which is a Sublime cover. This comes from October 16th, 2002, from the Paramount Theater in Seattle, Washington. I hope y'all enjoy it. And I believe this has been a BinRev Radio episode. We will see you same hack time, same hack channel.
All of these things that I do, waiting.